Krishna, we welcome you to this auspicious observance of Sri Radhastami, the appearance day of Srimati Radharani, who is the pleasure potency of Lord Krishna, and the best devotee of Lord Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explains that no one can enjoy happiness alone. To experience happiness, one needs other people. He gave the example that he is speaking in the temple room, and it is relishable because there are devotees in the temple. If he were to come into the temple room at midnight and speak to an empty room, it would not be so relishable. So Krishna also, to enjoy spiritual bliss, of course he is always situated in spiritual bliss, but to increase his spiritual bliss, he expanded himself into others. Eko Bahu Sham. The one became many. And his first expansion on the side of his energy, he expands on both sides, Vishnu Tattva, the energetic, and Shakti Tattva, the energy. And the first expansion on the side of the energy is Srimati Radharani. There are basically three energies which correspond to the three qualities of Godhead or the three qualities of spiritual existence, Sat, Chit, and Ananda. Eternity or existence, knowledge and bliss. So the Sandini potency of existence is represented by Lord Balaram. Samvit, or the energy of cognizance, is Krishna himself. And Ladini, or the pleasure-giving potency, is Srimati Radharani. She gives Krishna pleasure, and the pleasure that the devotees feel in devotional service is also from Srimati Radharani. And from Srimati Radharani, just as Krishna has so many expansions and expansions of expansions, Srimati Radharani does as well. Her direct expansions begin with the Astasakis, the eight gopis, friends of Radha and Krishna, beginning with Lalita, whose appearance day is 2 days before Radhastami, and Vishakha. And their maidservants, Rupa Manjari, Rati Manjari, they are also direct expansions of Srimati Radharani, but in a different category. And then the queens of Dwarka, they're also expanded from Srimati Radharani, beginning with Queen Rukmini. And the Lakshmis in Vaikuntha, associated with Lord Narayan and other forms of the Lord, they're also expanded from Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani is known especially for two personal qualities, and the two go together. The first is her pure desire to serve and please Krishna. She has no other desire. Whatever will please Krishna is her goal. There's a beautiful verse in one of Rupa Goswami's plays, Lalita Madhava and Vidagdha Madhava, in which Srimati Radharani says that when she dies, of course she never dies, but in Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, all of the devotees are in the mood of being ordinary human beings. That is the special feature of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. They're called Narlila, or human-like pastimes. But she's feeling that without Krishna, she cannot live. But she wants to serve Krishna and please Krishna. So she tells one of her friends that when she dies, she wants the earth element in her body to merge with the earth and become the soft dirt that Krishna walks on. And she wants the water element in her body to merge with the waters of the Yamuna, so that when Krishna sports in the waters of the Yamuna, she will be able to serve him. And in this way, she goes through all of the elements, how she wants them to be engaged in Krishna's service, even after her death. And sometimes she would think that if, although I cannot live in separation from Krishna, I would rather die. But then she thinks that if I died, Krishna would be unhappy. So I cannot die, because I cannot make Krishna unhappy. The other prominent quality in Srimati Radharani is her compassion. Her heart is always melted in love for Krishna, and also in feelings of compassion for all living beings. there's a story of a jackal who visited Radhakund, or who resided near Radhakund. And jackals are considered very lowly creatures, even amongst dogs or animals like dogs. They're considered very lowly. Sometimes, if we want to praise someone, we say that they're as powerful as a lion, or as majestic as an elephant, regal, as regal as an elephant. Or if we want to praise their eyes, they have eyes like a fish, Meenakshi, or like doe. But we never hear of anyone, even a dog, faithful like a dog, but we never hear of anyone praising someone by comparing them to a jackal. So this jackal resided near Radhakund, and some boys, to have fun, were throwing stones at the jackal and creating a lot of misery for that creature. So that creature ran to take shelter of its hole, or a hole. And so the boys, they covered the hole. With straw. And then they set fire to it, thinking that the heat would force the jackal out of the hole and they could have more fun. So the jackal was feeling the heat. It couldn't stay in the hole. It was crying piteously. It tried to escape, and it caught fire. And it was screaming piteously. And Srimati Radharani heard the cries of the jackal. And she sent one of her girlfriends, just find out that creature and bring that creature to me. And so her girlfriend went and saw that jackal, brought the jackal before Srimati Radharani, and the jackal put its head on Srimati Radharani's lotus feet. And she began to stroke that jackal, and she blessed that jackal with love of Godhead. So this is an example of her compassionate nature, even on the most lowly of creatures, with no qualification whatsoever to approach her. And she manifests that compassionate nature always. Even when she is in her own mood of intense separation from Krishna, she's thinking of the welfare of others. This is very striking. Sometimes when we're distressed, we don't want to be bothered by others. Srila Prabhupada used to give the example of some big man in India. Maybe he was one of the freedom fighters. And, you know, someone came to see him, and, you know, he said, I cannot see you. I'm very much disturbed. But Srimati Radharani, she may be in the throes of the most intense feelings of separation for Krishna, but still she's thinking of others, the welfare of others, how she can do good for them. And for us fallen souls in the material world, her compassion is very important, because we are in need of mercy. And to the extent that we cry out to her, like the jackal, but we cry out through chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare, and the Maha Mantra is Radharani, a form of addressing Radharani, then her heart will melt. It's already melted, but it will melt even more. And she will show mercy upon us. And in the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada writes that because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's difficult to approach him. But he has a compassionate side to him also. And that compassionate side is represented by Srimati Radharani. And therefore we can approach Krishna through his compassionate side, through Srimati Radharani. And we do that when we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. As Srila Prabhupada said, it's like the genuine cry of a child for its mother. Oh, mother, Hara, please help me in attaining the grace of Krishna. So today I thought to read a verse from the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Chapter 3, Pure Devotional Service, text 23. I'll just recite the Sanskrit, and then we can recite the synonyms responsively. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jivan Chavo Bhagavatangri Renum Na jatu martyo bilabeta yastu Shri Vishnu padya manujastu lasya Svasan chavoyastu na veda gandam Jivan chavo bhagavatangri renum Na jatu martyo bilabeta yastu Shri Vishnu padya manujastu lasya Svasan chavo yastu na veda gandam Jivan, while living, Shava, a dead body. Bhagavat Angri Renum. The dust of the feet of a pure devotee. Na, never, jatu, at any time, martya, mortal, abhilabheta, particularly received, ya, a person, to, but, Shri, with opulence, Vishnupadya, of the lotus feet of Vishnu, Manuja, a descendant of Manu, a man, Tulasya, leaves of the tulsi tree. Svasan, while breathing. Shava, still a dead body. Ya, who, to, but, Naveda, never experienced. Gandham, the aroma. Translation. The person who has not at any time received the dust of the feet of the Lord's pure devotee upon his head is certainly a dead body. And the person who has never experienced the aroma of the tulsi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord is also a dead body, although breathing. Please repeat. The person who has not at any time received the dust of the feet of the Lord's pure devotee upon his head is certainly a dead body. And the person who has never experienced the aroma of the tulsi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord is also a dead body, although breathing. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the breathing dead body is a ghost. When a man dies, he is called dead. But when he again appears in a subtle form, not visible to our present vision, and yet acts, such a dead body is called a ghost. Ghosts are always very bad elements, always creating a fearful situation for others. Similarly, the ghost-like non-devotees, who have no respect for the pure devotees, nor for the Vishnu deity in the temples, create a fearful situation for the devotees at all times. The Lord never accepts any offerings by such impure ghosts. There is a common saying that one should first love the dog of the beloved before one shows any loving sentiments for the beloved. The stage of pure devotion is attained by sincerely serving a pure devotee of the Lord. The first condition of devotional service to the Lord is therefore to be a servant of a pure devotee. And this condition is fulfilled by the statement, reception of the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee who has also served another pure devotee. That is the way of pure disciplic succession, or devotional parampara. Maharaj Rahugana inquired from the great saint Judd Bharat as to how he had attained such a liberated stage of a paramahansa. And in answer, the great saint replied as follows. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.12.12. Rahuganaita tapasanayati na chejaya nirvapanad grihadva na chandasanai vajalagni suryair vina mahatpadarajobhishekam. O King Rahugana, the perfectional stage of devotional service, or the Paramahansa stage of life, cannot be attained unless one is blessed by the dust of the feet of great devotees. It is never attained by tapasya, austerity, the Vedic worshipping process, acceptance of the renounced order of life, the discharge of the duties of household life, the chanting of the Vedic hymns, or the performance of penances in the hot sun, within cold water, or before the blazing fire. In other words, Lord Sri Krishna is the property of his pure, unconditional devotees, and as such, only the devotees can deliver Krishna to another devotee. Krishna is never obtainable directly. Lord Chaitanya therefore designated himself as Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayor Dasa Dasa Anudasa, or the most obedient servant of the servants of the Lord, who maintains the Gopi damsels at Vrindavan. A pure devotee therefore never approaches the Lord directly, but tries to please the servant of the Lord's servants. And thus the Lord becomes pleased. And only then can the devotee relish the taste of the tulsi leaves stuck to his lotus feet. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said that the Lord is never to be found by becoming a great scholar of the Vedic literatures. But he is very easily approachable through his pure devotee. In Vrindavan, all the pure devotees pray for the mercy of Srimati Radharani, the pleasure potency of Lord Krishna. Srimati Radharani is a tender-hearted feminine counterpart of the Supreme Whole, resembling the perfectional stage of the worldly feminine nature. Therefore, the mercy of Radharani is available very readily to the sincere devotees. And once she recommends such a devotee to Lord Krishna, the Lord at once accepts the devotee's admittance into his association. The conclusion is, therefore, that one should be more serious about seeking the mercy of the devotee than that of the Lord directly. And by one's doing so, by the goodwill of the devotee, the natural attraction for the service of the Lord will be revived. Translation again. The person who has not at any time received the dust of the feet of the Lord's pure devotee upon his head is certainly a dead body. And the person who has never experienced the aroma of the tulsi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord is also a dead body, although breathing. So, when we consider where we are and where Krishna is, there is a big difference. Of course, as the Paramatma, he's in our heart. But as the Supreme Personality enjoying his pastimes in the spiritual world, he is far away in the sense that he is completely pure. And we can approach him only if we are pure as well. And as we discussed, of all of the lovers of Krishna, Srimati Radharani's love is the purest. She has no thought for her own personal happiness. Whatever she does is for Krishna's pleasure. So we aspire for that kind of purity. Once I had a dream in which Srila Prabhupada told me, "You must be mad for Krishna." And I mentioned that to His Holiness Radhanath Swami. And Radhanath Swami became very serious. And he said, "You cannot become mad for Krishna unless you are very, very pure." So that is our goal, but that requires purification and mercy. And the method of purification, and simultaneously the method by which we get mercy, is to serve the Lord's devotee. As Lord Krishna tells Arjuna in the Adi Purana, those who claim to be my devotees are not actually my devotees. But those who are the devotees of my devotees, they are the actual devotees. And so one becomes a pure devotee by serving a pure devotee, who in turn has served a pure devotee, who in turn has served a pure devotee. And that is the parampara system that compassion of Srimati Radharani is conveyed to us through the disciplic succession. And Srila Prabhupada certainly exhibited that compassion. Otherwise, why would he have left India not just India, Vrindavan. Why would he have left Vrindavan to come to New York City and then San Francisco and Boston, Los Angeles? It was out of compassion. Generally, people in their old ages, in their old age, aspire to retire to Vrindavan. But Srila Prabhupada, in his old age, left Vrindavan. And he actually felt distress that people were not leaving Vrindavan. They just wanted to, whatever, enjoy Vrindavan or, derive their own personal benefit from Vrindavan. In 1990, there was a Kumbh Mela in Nasik. Apart from the famous Kumbh Mela in Allahabad, there's also Kumbh Mela in Nasik and Ujjain and different places. So when I was in Nasik, someone said there's a very saintly person, a very advanced devotee, and he likes ISKCON devotees, and you should visit him. So I went to meet him. His name was Dinabandhu Maharaj. And Dinabandhu Maharaj told me a very interesting story, that he knew Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan before Srila Prabhupada went to America. And when Prabhupada was preparing to leave, he told him, "You should not leave Vrindavan. This is not good that you are leaving Vrindavan. You should stay in Vrindavan. You can teach Shastra and practice, and you should not leave Vrindavan." So then, of course, Prabhupada did leave and came to the West and preached. And then eventually he returned to India with some of his disciples from America and Europe. And so the devotees arranged a little program for him in Nasik, which is not far from Bombay. There was a press conference, and Dinabandhu Maharaj, got news that Prabhupada had come to Nasik, and he went to meet him. And Prabhupada said, "Maharaj, you told me never to leave Vrindavan. What are you doing in Nasik?" And he said, "My Guru Maharaj had an ashram in Nasik, and he needed someone to look after it. So he ordered me, or requested me, to come to Nasik. So out of obedience to the order of my Guru, I left Vrindavan and came to Nasik." So Srila Prabhupada said, "Oh, so now you understand." He said, "Yes, now I understand." So, yes, that Prabhupada's mercy and compassion coming from Srimati Radharani. And one devotee shared a very nice realization that he feels that Srila Prabhupada's books are sprinkled with compassion and mercy from Radharani through Srila Prabhupada. That ocean of mercy, some of that ocean of mercy in Srimati Radharani's heart has been placed in Srila Prabhupada's heart through Parampara. And that comes through the books. And therefore, when we give people Srila Prabhupada's books, we're actually giving them Srimati Radharani's love and compassion through Parampara. And, of course, the contents of the books have the ability to transform, to touch people's hearts and transform their lives. And Srila Prabhupada, another devotee mentioned that he received a letter from Srila Prabhupada saying that if someone just touches his books, one of his books, they will make advancement. They don't even have to read it. They just have to touch it. So one or two days after receiving the letter, the devotee was doing book distribution, and a man gave him a very nice donation. And the devotee wanted to give him a book in reciprocation. He said, no, I don't want to read your books. I like you. I like you people. I like what you're doing. That's why I gave the donation. But I don't want any of your books. And the devotee was, just take it. No, I've given because I like you people. I don't want your books. So went on like that. Then the devotee remembered the letter. And then he told the man, well, then just touch the book. So the man said, well, look, you know, I don't want your books. I want to help you. I like you. I don't want your books. But okay, if you want me to touch it, I'll touch it. So he touched the book and walked away. 3 steps later, he turned around and came back. He said, I'll take that book. So, these books are not ordinary. It's not just ink and paper. It's Radharani's mercy through Parampara, through Srila Prabhupada. So, of course, one could say much more, and we will be meeting again in the evening and discussing more. But if any of you have any comments or questions now, you can say. Yes? Oh, yes. He's asking about Vrindavan. Why in Vrindavan the devotees have human-like forms? In the spiritual sky there are many Vaikuntha planets in which the predominating deities are Lakshmi and Narayan. They have 4 hands. And there's also a planet of Nrisingadev, Lakshmi Nrisinga. There's even a planet of Lord Jagannath. But in those planets, the mood of awe and reverence predominates. Everyone is, they have pure love, but they have an awareness of the Lord's majesty, his opulence. And because of that awareness called Aishwarya Gyan, there is a barrier to intimacy, naturally. But as Srila Prabhupada explains, and as our acharyas explain, sometimes Krishna wants to forget that he's God. Srila Prabhupada told the story of Gladstone, who was the Prime Minister of England, that once a big man came to see him, and his secretary said, "Please wait, the Prime Minister is engaged." And the big man was waiting and waiting and getting a little impatient, so he just opened the door a bit to look in. And there he saw Prime Minister Gladstone on his hands and knees on the floor. And his grandchild was riding on his back. He'd become like a horse for his grandchild. So Srila Prabhupada told this story to illustrate the fact that a big person, out of affection and love, likes to enjoy with his dear ones and forget that he's the Prime Minister. So Krishna also, he likes to enjoy with his dear ones in Vrindavan. That grandchild wasn't thinking, "Oh, this is the Prime Minister of England." If the grandchild is thinking, "Oh, this is the Prime Minister of England," could never ride on his back, pull his ear, or whatever else he did. So to facilitate that intimacy, Yoga Maya, which is an energy of Krishna, Yoga Maya makes the devotees forget that Krishna is God. They know he's God, but Yoga Maya makes them forget that he's God. And Krishna also forgets by the influence of Yoga Maya, Krishna also forgets. This is an intricate topic, but it's actually very interesting. But we won't go too deeply into it right now. Well, we'll see. But so that's the idea in Vrindavan, Narlila. Everyone is enchanted by Yoga Maya. The Maha Maya, the Maya of the material world, makes us forget Krishna. But Yoga Maya helps the devotees to love Krishna more by forgetting that he's God. And that is the nature of Vrindavan. And just one little detail. There's another Vrindavan, or say a portion of Vrindavan called Goloka, where the same forms exist. Radharani, Krishna, the gopis, the cowherd boys, there's Govardhan Hill, there's the Jamuna River. But there's an awareness of Krishna's majesty. So the forms are just like the Vrindavan where the sweet mood prevails. The forms are the same, but the mood is different. The mood is like Vaikuntha of awe and reverence. So to enter the Vrindavan where sweetness prevails, where there's that complete intimacy. One has to aspire for the mood of those residents of Vrindavan, and then one can serve Krishna in that mood of intimacy.
Thank you, Maharaj. I would like to see if you can comment in this. The compassionate mood of Srimati Radharani.
She wants to bring other gopis to give pleasure to Krishna.
Yes. Wait, can you repeat that?
I would say that the compassionate movement is not
together. Yes.
In the Sankirtan movement, my Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when his devotees are engaged trying to reach out, is that kind of similar?
Oh, yes. Yes, I see what you're saying. Yes, that was... Yes, that's true. That... Srimati Radharani's mood is that she always wants to make arrangements for the other gopis to be with Krishna. And the other gopis want to make arrangements for her to be with Krishna. And so when devotees go on Sankirtan, they're trying to bring people to Krishna, like Radharani. She wants to arrange for the other gopis to be with Krishna. So the Sankirtan devotees are, they're also trying to arrange for people to come to Krishna. That's true. That's true. So we, as servants of, well, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna in the mood of Radharani. That means he has the same mood of compassion as Srimati Radharani. So yes, he definitely came because he wanted to bring people to Krishna. And we're assisting him. We're assisting him, we're assisting Srila Prabhupada, and so we're assisting Srimati Radharani. That's a very nice thought. We are, yes. Yes, Rasa Sundari.
Hare Krishna. Could you explain a little bit more? We always speak about the dust of the lotus feet of a devotee, and if we should understand this more.
Yes, this verse mentions the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee, Bhagavat Angri Renum. And the verse quoted from the fifth canto also has a similar, Mahat Padarajobhishekam. So is the dust literal or figurative? Yes, it is both. It is both. The verse from the Bhagavatam says that the person who has not at any time received the dust of the feet of the Lord's pure devotee upon his head is certainly a dead body. That means he has no life. Life is devotional service. The life of the living being is devotional service. So without devotional service, he's dead. Bhagavat Bhakti Hinasa, you know that verse, that it's without bhakti, whatever one does, it's just like decoration of a dead body. So this same question that Maharaj Rahugana asked to Judd Bharat, the same question was asked by Hiranyakashipu to Prahlad. Because Prahlad became a great devotee. And Hiranyakashipu wanted him to be a big demon. And when he found that Prahlad had become a devotee, he accused the boy's teachers of subverting his intentions. And the teachers said, "You're accusing us wrongly. We have not told him anything about Vishnu to make him favorable to Vishnu or Vishnu Bhakti." And he said, "Well, you've allowed Vaishnavas to come in disguise and infiltrate the school." And they said, "No, we haven't. We've been very careful." So then he said, "Well, then how has he become a devotee?" And they said, "We don't know. You better ask him." So he asked Prahlad, and Prahlad said that I have not become a devotee by my own efforts. And then he said, "I've not become a devotee by the efforts of others." And then he said, "I've not become a devotee by the combined efforts of myself and others." So it seems like logically there's no way he could have become a devotee. And then he said the same thing. Mahiyasham pada rajo vishekam niskinchananam navraniti yavat. That the only way one can become a devotee is if he smears his body with the dust from the lotus feet of a pure devotee. And that seemed impossible for Prahlad because he was isolated from devotees. But he did have the association of Vani, of the instructions of Narada Muni when he was in the womb. So in that sense, it can be taken as figurative. The dust of the lotus feet means the instructions of the pure devotee. But it can also be literal. Bhaktapada duli, bhaktapada jal. Chaitanya Charitamrita says that three substances are very powerful. Bhaktapada duli, the dust from a pure devotee. Bhaktapada jal, the water that's washed the feet of a pure devotee. And the remnants of the food eaten by a pure devotee. These are very powerful substances, and they can awaken bhakti in the heart of one who gets them. And Srila Prabhupada explains that Prahlad was telling Hiranyakasipu indirectly that you don't have to worry about becoming a devotee because you are too proud. You'll never bow down to the lotus feet of a pure devotee. So you don't have to worry about becoming a devotee. You're safe. That's very important. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also presented himself, Gopi Bhartu Pada Kamlayor Dasa Dasa Anadasa, the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, the maintainer of the gopis. So we should have that humble feeling. And we should see that we can get mercy from any devotee, can get benefit from any devotee. Now that, well, it says a pure devotee. Now, I don't, you know, let me take out my pure devotee gauge and let me attach it and see, is this one a pure devotee or not? No, and Prabhupada also said that anyone who's sincerely serving the spiritual master, anyone who's surrendered to the spiritual master, is considered a pure devotee. So we should, in any case, give the devotee the benefit of the doubt, and that's certainly Radharani's mood, and yes, try to serve them all and take their dust and get their mercy. Yes. Yes, this is in she says that she has a problem with the Nar-lila because it almost seems like Krishna taking the example of human beings to pattern his. Yeah. Well, there's another way of thinking. As Prabhupada would quote the Bible, man is created in the image of God. Like, I don't know now, but in the old days, you know, atheists would say, you know, we imagine God to be like a human being because we're human. But it's the opposite. Man is created in the image of God. We have human-like forms because in his original form, God does. But yeah, I mean, the human form is significant because in the human form we can realize God. And, but yeah, that's the original. And we're patterned after that. The human form is patterned after Krishna's form in Vrindavan, not the other way around. But it could be, but the Bhagavatam says, anugrahaya bhaktanam manusam tanumashritam, that out of special mercy for human beings, the Lord descends in a human-like form. Because we can relate to that form more easily. So that's true. He does that out of mercy upon his devotees. He assumes a human-like form to attract them to his service. So it does work that way too. But the original is Krishna. Yeah, that came before us. But he descends with that out of mercy for us in particular because we have human bodies. Yeah. Yes, go to Chandra Prabhu. Yes. He appears as a fish, matsya. He appears as a tortoise, kurma. He appears as a boar, varaha, dev, half man and half lion, Narasingha. Yes, that's the, well, sometimes creatures in lower species can get the mercy of the Lord, or the devotee, like the jackal, got the mercy of Srimati Radharani. So, I mean, not wanting to speculate too much, but it could be that a living entity in the body of a boar, if that living entity happened to see the boar incarnation, it might feel some special attraction. and that would help that living entity's spiritual progress. Yes. Yes, that's true. The soul within every body can get the benefit of hearing the holy name, hearing the discussions of Krishna and Radha and the devotees. Like Prahlad, he was in the womb. He didn't have a fully developed body, but he was able to hear, and he got the benefit. Yes? So we should do loud Harinam Sankirtan and benefit all the living entities. Yes? And that would definitely be an expression of Lord Chaitanya's and Srila Prabhupada's and Srimati Radharani's mood. All right, well, thank you very much. It would be a wonder. Hare Krishna. Mm-hmm.